animals in God's story. Chapter 2, Created for Companionship, by Steve Martin and Clyde Pilkington. Some animals were made to live with us, not just out there in the wild, but right here, in our homes, on our laps, by our side when the world falls apart. From the very beginning, God designed certain creatures not just to survive near humans, but to belong with us. Dogs and cats weren't human inventions. They're divine ones, and they weren't accidents. They were intentions, wired to be near. It's no coincidence that dogs wag when they see us, or that cats curl up in our laps like it's the safest place in the world. These aren't random behaviors. They're signs of something deeper, God's design for connection. Animals that make good companions, especially dogs and cats, aren't just biologically compatible. They're relationally tuned in. Scientists call it tameness, low reactivity, docility. But if you ask me, it's grace. These creatures are naturally social. They've been wired through generations of domestication, yes, but first by the hand of a God who knew that we'd need more than food and shelter. We'd need presence, loyalty, love that doesn't give up when we're at our worst. Not accidents, intentions. God didn't toss animals into the world as background props. He handcrafted each one, gave them instincts, personalities, quirks. From the sea turtle's homing sense to the ox's quiet strength to the way a puppy melts in your arms, this is intentional design. And dogs and cats, they were made to come close. They were made not just for survival, but for delight. Why does your dog spin in circles when you come home? Why does your cat nuzzle your cheek with her head? Why does it feel like your pet knows when something's wrong? Because they weren't just made for ecosystems or food chains. They were made for you. Companions in a broken world. After the fall, God could have withdrawn. Instead, he gave us glimpses of Eden, soft echoes of what used to be. One of those echoes is the bond we share with certain animals. Your pet doesn't fix your pain, but they sit with it. They don't explain your grief, but they feel it. They're there when the tears fall, when the room goes quiet, when you need someone who won't give advice, but just stay. That's no small thing. In a world of broken relationships, unpredictable losses, and spiritual loneliness, sometimes a wagging tail or a warm purr feels like grace in motion. And maybe it is. Soul to soul. In the Bible, animals are called nephesh chaya, living souls, just like humans. That doesn't mean that they're the same as us, but it does mean that they matter. They breathe. They feel. They bond. And when they look at us with those wide, trusting eyes, something in us responds, because they're not just pets. They're soul bearers, living, breathing evidence that we were never meant to go through life alone. Designed to reflect. Some theologians call them companions. Some scientists say commensals. One, I just call them gifts. Because in their quiet, patient way, dogs and cats teach us how to love. They model loyalty, presence, forgiveness. They're little shadows of what God is always doing. Staying near, speaking comfort without words. And when we love them back, when we scratch behind their ears or whisper, good boy, or you're safe, maybe we're doing something holy. Maybe we're participating in a deeper kind of affection, the kind that starts with the Creator, when they're gone. That's why the grief hits so hard when we lose them. It's not just an animal. It's a loss of presence, of connection, of love given and received without strings. But here's what I believe. God doesn't forget what he breathes life into. He doesn't throw away what he called good. And he's never finished writing the story of a soul, whether it walks on two legs or four. So if you've ever loved a dog like family, or held a cat through the night and whispered, "You're safe," you weren't being soft. You were being like God.